When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, and on Android. Recommend either Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our new Discord server, $2.99 per month. That's where you get the updates from us on everything that we're doing Heat related on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Also, communicate with each other all day long. You can suggest topics for this podcast. Trust me, we're going to be leaning on Off the Floor a lot in August. Check it out, $2.99 per month. Link is right here in the description. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. I'm actually going to do this today. I'm way past time on this. This episode is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. With oil changes complete in about 15 minutes, maintaining your vehicle is just a quick stop on the way to your summer destinations. Click the link right here in the description to receive a coupon that saves $8 off Valvoline full-service conventional oil change, or $10 off the full service, full synthetic, or diesel oil change. So check it out. Link is right here in the description. We make sure we put it there for you to make it as easy as possible. We also tweet this out so that you can find it on Twitter or X or whatever it's called these days. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on Five Reasons Sports. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305, and Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. Before we start here, should acknowledge Miami Heat Summer League team might beat the Pistons right now. It's they put together quite a group. We told you this was going to be a really good team. I know their first game was a little bit shaky, but they did this last night against Toronto without Keshawn Johnson. They have a lot of options for their two ways. We've done a couple episodes on this, so we're not going to devote the time on it to this one. But they do have some decisions to make. They're going to end up losing good players, which again, they got the 3 2-way spots instead of two. We've talked a little bit about some of the players that they retain, some of the veterans, or whether it's a Burks that they added. Again, this is part of the process here. You don't really know what you have until you have it, but it looks like they've replenished the system, and there's being some Heat fans that are upset about players who may end up walking away. They need to keep Isaiah Stevens. I'll just say that. Like, they need, right? We're all in agreement on that. They need
yes,
to figure out a way to do
it. It is Isaiah Stevens season here, yes, on Five on the Floor, because he has been a floor general all throughout Summer League. So shout out to him.
Yeah, he's been terrific. And we'll do more on him as if they end up keeping him as we go forward. But we're going to talk about the bigs this time, not the point guards, and particularly with the bigs that, well, all three are going to be on the roster, and two of them are going to be performing in the Olympics, and one of them that was a bit of a surprise, so we'll get to him first. Nikola Jovic, who Brady and I did an episode related to him about a week ago when the news came out, and it came from a Serbian publication that he'd broken his ankle. I'd never really heard that it was a serious injury. He hurt himself in his last workout in Miami before he went. We knew that. But I was told by the Heat that he could still play in the Olympics, and now at this point, it looks like he will. So he has been cleared, and again, some of this stuff gets lost in translation. We'll see when he actually hits the floor with the team. But what's interesting about this is that Serbia's first game of the Olympics is against the U.S. And so Nikola Jovic will see Bam Adebayo. And that's one of the others we're going to talk about today. In addition to Khalil Ware, who, man, when you start to see these posts on Twitter where and on Instagram where fans of other teams are like, how did they do it again? Like, that's what we're starting to see. We saw this with Hakez last year, and now we're seeing it with Ware. It looks like they, again, got a top five level prospect in the teens of the first round. Like, they did this with Hero. They did this with Bam. They did it with Hakez. We're waiting to see on Jovic, who was actually drafted a little bit later. I know Precious is a sore spot for some, but it looks, Greg, like they got another. And we have to see what it looks like in the season, but the types of things he's doing in Summer League are the types of things that will translate. And so, I mean, he has a potential to be an impact rookie.
He does. And I think that is... It's weird, right? Because I think some people are getting a little ahead of themselves because they've seen all these different rookies do this for Miami over and over again. So I think we should tread carefully that although he may be a top five level talent in this draft, it may take a little bit of time. So still have some patience. But in Summer League, he's been consistently one of the best players on the floor. There's been some lapses here and there, but I think that for the most part, he's been super productive. And this is part of an evolution for the Heat roster because they've been a small team for so long. And now it appears as if they're starting to gain some traction in the front court to the degree where they can maybe even start to use some of these guys together and not always be dwarfed by the opposition. So I think like it's just a huge step because of the position he plays, because of who could potentially surround him. And the fact that he looks like he fits the culture, et cetera. And those were some of the question marks with his quote unquote motor. I think that some of that stuff probably was overblown. And now we can see if they can put these pieces together and actually match up with some of the big teams throughout the league.
Well, and there was a post, I think an IG post where UD talked about how good his motor has been thus far. And that has been, again, an emphasis. I think one of the things to credit the Heat organization on at this level, and I know we talked about this on, I think it was the last episode, that there's frustration with some of the execution of the, you know, established player acquisition at this stage, right? And again, some of that's been beyond their control. But their execution at this level has been excellent. And one of the things they've been able to do, Brady, is pivot in terms of what they're looking for. So like last year, it was, okay, Hakez is there. Here is a ready-to-play-in-the-NBA player. A year after they took Jovic, who they knew was going to take time. Now, this year, it seems like, okay, they acknowledged what we saw, what the fans saw, which is we need size and athleticism. I mean, that roster, it was slow and small. Like, just no way around it. And so now you add a guy who has high, high upside. And in addition, you know, gives you size. And I just, before we get more onto Bam, cause, and what, you know, what we're expecting from him in the Olympics with Ware right now, what is the thing that excites you the most, Brady, in terms of what he could do with this roster this year?
Honestly, the thing that excites me the most is the fact that there are no motor questions, I feel like, at this point. And part of that is the fact that the thing that surprised me the most is like in recent Summer League years, recent like draft, Heat draft guys, I haven't seen a guy improve in Summer League the way he has. Like, he's taken like the first game, he had a rough first game. Like, there was like clear problems. Like, there was like, okay, he's not making contact on any screens. He's a kind of a poor screener in this game. Instead of rolling, he's just drifting out to the 3-point line. Like, he wasn't engaged offensively. There was a couple games mixed in there where he had like one rebound total. And then you just see him like work on all of those little minor things. And now he's screening. Now he's rolling. Now the lobs are starting to come more and more. You're seeing the rebound numbers. The last two games, it was 24 and 10 and 17 and 10. So you're just seeing like him improve like game after game in this Summer League that it's like he hasn't even played a day in the NBA yet. So like once Miami gets their developmental guys on him. Like it's going, you're going to see real changes, it feels like. And the versatility, I feel like, kind of is the main thing. They were talking on the broadcast yesterday when you were talking about the Heat just finding gems and finding like steals. They were comparing him to different bigs in this draft where they were saying he was better than the number two overall pick, Alex Saar, where they were going down the line. They're like, Zach Edey, oh, I would have took Khalil Ware over him. And it's just funny to see this in real time where they're just comparing it before he even plays a day in the NBA that they're like, now he's up there and as a top three potential guy in this draft in their eyes. Like, it's just funny to see this develop, but you can only be happy with what you're seeing. And defensively, what he wants compared to what Bam wants matches up. Like, Bam wants to play the four a lot because of defensively he wants to switch around all over the place and not have to be boxed in that end of the floor. And you're seeing Khalil play this role where he's just sitting in deep drop, just blocking shots left and right and just using his length to his advantage. This stuff matches up. And here's the biggest thing. These three bigs that we're going to be talking about are all legitimate perimeter threats. Like, this isn't before where you're talking about, like, hoping one of them could take 1-3 a game or this and that. Like, no, like, Jovic developed his three and was an efficient shooter this past season. Bam, what we're going to talk about, is becoming a legit threat from beyond the arc, like a legit three-point shooter. And Khalil Ware hasn't played a day in the NBA yet, and he's a legitimate threat out there too. Like, I think there's definitely some mechanics to work on. I don't know if it's totally there at this exact moment, but he's going to be a shooter in the NBA. Like, he's not going to just be a strict role threat, even though I think his rookie year will mostly look like that. So starting with Ware, though, you have to be happy with what you're seeing because there's been legit improvement from day one.
We're going to talk about the combination, all three combinations here that they could potentially use. I'm going to get to that in the second half of the episode, but you touched on Bam, so let's pivot there. I'm not surprised that he looks so good in this setting. The international style of ball, I think, just fits him perfectly. I think we're seeing Embiid struggle with it a little bit. It does not mean that Bam is better than Embiid. I just think Bam is better than Embiid for this. And again, I'm not surprised to see it. AD is kind of in the middle in some ways, but Embiid looks like he's got two left feet right now. And, you know, Bam looks totally comfortable. And Greg, to that point, like, the three threes are, you know, great. And like Brady said, now we're talking about these guys as three perimeter threats. But what I like about all this more than anything is really the off the court stuff, I guess. I feel like, you know, we talk about guys come back from this Olympic experience different. But to basically be embraced by Steph Curry and LeBron James, where, you know, these guys, he seems to be with them all the time. I can't think, honestly, and I mean, I've had a man crush on Steph from the very beginning when he came in the league. It's hard not to. I just think the way he carries himself, the way he's – everything that Steph has done, honestly, since he's come into the NBA, the way he's handled the media, the way he's handled fans, it just – I'm just a huge, huge, huge Steph fan, okay? And obviously people know that I covered LeBron and spent a lot of time around LeBron. Like, there, you cannot have, I think, a better environment for Bam to kind of, you know, sort of grow a second skin here as he goes into the next stage of his career than being around LeBron, Steph, KD, and the others on this team who are seeing his value. To me, that's the thing. Like, they're seeing his value, and I just think it's going to make him – we've talked about him, and we joke about the alpha-beta thing and everything. Alex gives me a hard time, but he wasn't comfortable being captain last year. Okay. That was clear behind the scenes. He kind of voiced it publicly. I just think we're going to see a different guy this year. I don't know how we couldn't. And before we get into all the basketball possibilities.
Agree wholeheartedly. I think this is how a player goes through an evolution and a maturation process as they grow. And like you talked about him being kind of the quiet type and would he grow into the role of a captain and be able to be a vocal leader and all that kind of stuff. This is how you gain those leadership chops, by being around these players, by being in this environment. I think being around other great players is good for Bam in general. People will make jokes about him having to come back to an undrafted roster, but truthfully, I think that Bam Adebayo at this stage is the lightning rod for anything good that's going to happen with the Miami Heat. And that includes his impression on other guys, and everybody speaks so glowingly about him. And the other part of it is, in this setting, he's showing that he can be not only a star, not only one of the best in the world, but also a glue guy. And like, that's a huge part of not every superstar can flex into that role and play that type of style. So I just think he is, we'll get into the basketball stuff in a minute, because him being a shooting threat changes stuff on the court in a big way too. But I just think that this is how you evolve essentially, and you grow up to become what we've seen all the other great players, the Alonzo Mournings of the Miami Heat, the, you know, the Dwayne Wades. This is how you elevate. And I think that it's the clear process and the intangible stuff, Ethan, to what you're going towards is probably just as important as the tangible stuff on the court that we're going to talk about next.
Well, I just think he's going to play a huge role for this team. It's apparent. And the fact also that Spoelstra is there and is witnessing this and the way that he's interacting with other players, Spo's going to lean on him even more this year. And look, Jimmy Butler may still be their best player this year. Okay. I mean, there is a very good chance of that, particularly if it's a motivated Jimmy in a contract year, Jimmy, the t-shirts that we need to print up. But the burden of the other stuff, I think we're going to see Spo go even more to him because of the uncertainty of the Jimmy situation going forward. There's no uncertainty with Bam's situation. Like, you know, he's going to be here. You know that he is essentially going to be the mantle carrier for the guys like Hakez, Jovic, Ware, Keshawn Johnson, provided again that these guys are there. And so all of this, the fact that Spoelstra is seeing the interactions and seeing sort of how Bam reacts to it, what he can take on, what he can't take on, is all positive. I'm going to go to Brady after the break because I want to get into the basketball stuff. We're going to work Jovic into it. Our guy Eternal is going to be really angry at me because I know he would want to be on this episode. So I'm just going to piss him off here with what we're going to talk about coming right out of the break. Love you, Eternal. Want to talk about a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friend Water Cleanup. Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL. It's not intentional. It's just that we don't go more than three these days. And Greg and Brady woke up. WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. Your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. Again, get in there before it becomes a bigger problem. If they can do the leak detection for you and get it solved. If something happens and they got to do a damage assessment, they'll do that as well. Work with your insurance company. Michael Robert, his entire team. They got almost 100 five-star reviews on Google. Find out the reason. They're honest people. It's hard to find good contractors. These folks are. So reach out to them. Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Again, that's WCUFL.com. Let's throw the third guy in the mix, Brady.
I
forgot. I got the schmutz. If you got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, now Greg, we can continue.
Greg was going to hold that for at least 30 minutes. Sorry, I just got back from Chicago. By the way, I want to say something, because this is stunning, okay? Spirit Airlines got me back on time during an IT crisis. That would have been the last sentence I thought I would ever say. So,
amen.
My daughter calls me a Karen. I just want to say straight out, okay, just straight out, that I was stunned that we actually arrived on time yesterday, and considering everything that was going on. All right, Brady, Jovic. So he's going to play next to Jokic if he's available. Excuse me, available. What is that? First, let's get into that. What is that going to look like in your view? And because we didn't see it last summer because Jokic didn't play. So what do you think that looks like? And then I want to take the next step. How is he going to look next to Bam? And where, or again, with all due respect to Eternal, who's going to be mad at me for not including this, can they actually play all three of them together this year? Brady, on Jokic first.
Yeah, so it's funny because watching when they played against USA a couple days ago, it's funny because that team is like, they have a bunch of really good shooting. They have a pretty good skilled players on that team. But Jokic doesn't play the role that he does, obviously, like in the NBA for Denver. Like, he plays such a different role that, like, I really do see where Jovic can be utilized. Like, it feels like he's going to be like last time that he was in the Olympics or last season, he was playing kind of a lot off ball, which I think we wanted to see because we all wanted to see him improve his jumper. And it probably helped a lot, like considering what we saw in the NBA. But I am curious to see, because I think there is some real threat for him being odd ball and just driving and kicking and everything like that. And you're going to see a lot of actions between Jovic and Jokic. Like, they're going to be kind of the main pillars of that team. That you're going to have to utilize the two of them. And it's going to be interesting because also the lineups with Bam and AD, Jokic is going to be guarding AD. So that leaves Bam and Jovic legitimately matching up on both sides of the floor. So that's going to be fun to watch. Like, just seeing, that's going to be like practice all over again, seeing them match up and go at each other. But I think it's really going to help because that team's going to have a ton of passing. Jovic just be able to play in a different role than he's used to, because a lot of times in Miami, he's boxed in, not in a bad way, but you're boxed into a specific role. And in this job, it's like you're kind of having to do everything because you have to keep up with a bunch of skilled players on the other side with Team USA. So you kind of have to just roll with the punches a little bit. But I'll answer your second part of your question, because I don't see the Jovic Bam Kalel thing. Like, I really don't at this current moment. I don't. I just, like, rookie season, I'm still wondering how much we're going to see of Bam and Kalel, but I think we're training toward more and more of it. I think just because of the fact of what Bam's doing specifically, like, this was always the going big thing was always on Bam to me. I don't think it was about putting a guy next to him, because let's just say Bam didn't develop the three and they get a perfect kind of stretch out shooter. Bam's still going to be playing a similar role offensively because he's going to have to play the screen and roll guy. He's going to have to be the guy that sits in the dark spot, comes up and screens, plays the mid range. He's not changing his role too much. When you add in this new version of the team and you project Bam's shooting, Bam's the guy that could play in the wings and corners now, and Kalel could be the 7-foot lob threat in the middle of the floor, setting screens and rolling, and that opens up Bam's game tremendously. So if this Bam shooting thing is real, which it seems like it really is, there is real ways to go with Kalel and Bam, and I think they will throughout the season and try it out. But now you add Jovic into the mix. One of those three have to be high-volume knockdown shooters. Like, not just the occasional stuff from Kalel, not like Bam developing, shooting a little bit more. Like, Jovic has to be like high volume 40% 3-point shooter.
He's the one, though.
Yeah. He's the most experienced shooting under his belt. I mean, he's not the one that's trying this out, I guess. But if he takes that jump where he's like legitimately off the catch shooting at an incredible level where teams can't help off him, because you still see times in certain lineups where they're not fully not helping off of him in that corner. Like, they'll dip off and help on a driver. So if he's hitting that point where it's like, okay, we can't help off of this guy, then maybe you could see it a little bit more, but it's, you have to really form lineups in that backcourt to make it work. It feels like what's the lineup there? Like, who do you have to put Tyler and Duncan out there to make it work?
No, somebody actually suggested to me on Discord. They sent me a direct message on Discord. Join off the floor so you can send me ridiculous things like this too. They actually didn't suggest Tyler and Rozier or Tyler and Duncan or Duncan and Rozier. They suggested a Hawkes Butler backcourt with it. So just throw. You get more size there. But with Jimmy and Hyman, essentially, I guess you have Jimmy as the primary ball handler, although you could play through Jovic, you could play through Bam, you could play through Hawkes. But you would have Jimmy as the primary ball handler with Hawkes. And those three guys, I guess this is for the crew that wants to trade Tyler, Terry, and Duncan. So they're like, well, we still have these five guys. I don't really know how that one would work. But I do think when you start to talk about it in these terms, okay, a team that, again, lost Caleb, okay, and we can discuss now because it is feeling more and more like, I don't want to say that he dodged a bullet there because I like Caleb as a player. I think he's a good player, and he was a good person for the organization. But it does seem like it would have been a pretty substantial financial outlay when there may have been some progress stopping for other guys with that contract. Like that's kind of where I'm at. And I know there wasn't total alignment on that in terms, not everybody in the organization was as excited about giving him that much, but the fact that the agent screwed that up, we may look back at that and say, okay, good player, going to help Philadelphia, good person, be great if he finds his way back to Miami someday. But like, we're trying to talk about some of these other possibilities. I don't know how they get to some of these other possibilities if they're giving Caleb 25 to 30 minutes a game. I don't know. I mean, because there's the Haywood thing too. He's in the mix in addition to the three guys I mentioned. And then we just talk about five. And then Keshawn Johnson looks like he can do some Caleb things. And so that's another one. And then they appear to have a little bit more point guard depth than they've had before. But Greg, again, I don't think Spo's going to go that outrageous to play a whole lot of Jovic, Ware, and Bam together. But I do think that we may be past the days of the small ball four. Is that fair? Like not as much Haywood there. I feel like Haywood's going to play more on the wing.
I think Haywood will still find his way into the four spot at times just because he is such a versatile defender and they don't have to worry about him switching and stuff like that. So inevitably in late game situations, I have a feeling that, I mean, just for the sake of laughter, Team USA is a really big team, but yet late in one of these last games when it got a little close, they had Bam and four guards out on the court. So tend to think that that's eventually how things evolve back to. But I do think that there's going to be significant two-man combinations that they can go to. I don't know about this three-man stuff. I think we're heading we're getting ahead of ourselves. But the two-man combinations of Bam and Ware, potentially, if we see a little bit of that, but also with all the other guys you mentioned, I just think that they've opened up a lot of versatility. Maybe we'll get what we used to call vertical spacing from Ware to some degree. And so it's just exciting to think about those things and that they have the option to go big. That's what I think is interesting, because it didn't really feel like last year's roster and the guys they had, they couldn't really size up and be manageable on both ends of the floor. There was always a guy that didn't fit or couldn't stay on the court. And now it seems like they've kind of cleared some of that up, pending these guys developing at the rate that we expect.
Well, they still have Love and Bryant. I know Heat fans don't really understand the Bryant thing. A lot of them don't. I guess you always need an extra big. I now that we're getting down like to, you know, this point with the roster spots on some of these two-way guys, you're kind of like, well, you know, and we've talked about kind of what might have gone into the Bryant decision. And then Andy spoke about it publicly. He wanted to give Spo an extra big to work with, a big that he would play. And he did play Thomas at times this year. But again, they still have Love. So, I mean, there could be. So let me go to you on this, Brady. So we talk about the two-man combinations. And again, Kevin played at a pretty high level last year when he played. And we know that Jimmy likes playing with them and they play well together. So I'll throw this at you. And you give me on a scale of 1 to 10, how much you think we'll see these combinations, Bam and Love, this year?
7.
Okay. Love and Ware?
Oof. I don't hate that lineup. I don't hate that combination just because it stretches the floor for Ware. How much will we see it? Probably a little less than the last one. I'll say six.
All right. Lovin Jovic.
Two. Because there's going to be a game where everybody's out and they have to play, so I can't say one or zero.
Which is funny because, you know, there's some similarity in, well, not the rebounding part, because obviously Kevin came in as an elite rebounder, but there's some similarity in terms of game feel on the offensive end in particular between the two of them where, you know, and they connect very well off the court. I mean, Kevin gives him a hard time on a consistent basis. I just think it's interesting again that the Heat looked at their situation and finally didn't decide to just, okay, we're going to throw some 7-foot stiffs out there. And even during the Big Three era, that's kind of what they did. Like it was so, I mean, who did they, I mean, it was Dampier, right? It was
Eddie Curry,
Big Z, Dexter Pittman, Roni Turioff was a little bit more of a, but you know, but he wasn't quite as traditional a five, but then like
Birdman.
Well, that's what you hit on. Like they found vertical spacing and then they went, what was it? Like 37-3 after they acquired him. And they really haven't had a player. And then Joel, they had, who was again, you know, did certain things very well and certain things really poorly. But they kind of focused on, again, on the things that they did well, but they really haven't had a guy to do Birdman like things since Birdman, I guess. And you're right. The vertical spacing is a big thing, particularly on a team that maybe may struggle at times to get spacing out to the 3-point line with some of the lineups that they may see out there. Let me ask you this, Brady, because again, and then I'll let Greg close on it. Tyler, with these bigs, well, not just Tyler. I don't want to make it just about Tyler. Tyler and Rozier, okay. Mm-hmm. How, if they're going to go bigger with some of these lineups, how can the guards help this? We've seen that the Heat have sometimes had trouble feeding their bigs, particularly Bam. That was something we talked about that Kyle was supposed to take care of. Never really happened. How do they, and we know that Jimmy, and let's just be honest, Jimmy doesn't pass to Bam a lot. I'm curious to see if that changes. He just doesn't. Empirically, it's just true. He does not pass to Bam a lot. So, and we know Tyler obviously has a connection with Bam on the pick and roll, even if the metrics on that have gotten worse at times over the past few years. But how are Tyler and Terry affected by them maybe going a little bigger? And how are the bigs affected by who will be on the floor? Can Rozier unlock this group, maybe?
I think Rozier is somebody that's going to see a lot of minutes with Ware. I think that's kind of the combo that you're going to see a lot of just because – I mean, he's kind of the one lob guy I trust that's going to consistently in the pick and roll just throw that thing up there that I think he can unlock him in a way that fits each other. Whereas I know a lot of people like to cover what we saw from Terry and Bam last season, but I think you're going to go back a little bit more to the Tyler Bam stuff. And it might be, I think it's going to be because Jimmy's always played, you mentioned him playing with Bam, but he's played well with a lot of these worst backup bigs over the years. Like, We had the Kobe Shaq game where he played with Cody Zeller and they looked unstoppable. Where I think you're going to see lineups with like Terry, Jimmy, and Ware, and you're going to see more lineups with like Tyler, Bam, Jovic, Hawkins type guys. So then Hawkins can play the Jimmy role and they'll have to stagger in that way. But I think that's how they'll be impacted. And you can
go I like Tyler and Jovic together. I think they fit.
They do play well. They play well together. They definitely do. And I mean, if you're going to play with those, the Ware lineups, then that's where we were talking about before. I think you kick into a little bit more Haywood at the four with Ware, just so you have the switchability on defense. You can kind of play around with that. But I will say that because when we were going through lineup combinations, you know, the two-man group in the big group that I think we see the most is Jovic and Ware. I don't think people are talking enough about it because everybody just throws Bam, Jovic, and Ware together, where I think it's Jovic and Ware that are the most intriguing to me. Like, I think they're going to see a lot of those minutes. I know everybody wants to see Ware with Bam, but I think Ware for the majority of the season is going to be playing behind him, and it's going to end up being a lot of Jovic next to him. I think it works. If you want to go bigger, how about a guy that's 6'11 and can run pick and rolls with your 7-footer? And like they have these different, and you know, Jovic has gotten better with switchability. We know he doesn't want to play drop. I never want to see that again. Like he's much better when he's switching around. Like it, you're limiting him in a box where they match up in a way. Like they play what they, it seems like on paper, I think you could see them playing pretty decent together. So that's the kind of the group I'm interested in seeing. And I know you said Tyler and the lineups we just went through and they'll stagger around, but like if you play Jovic in Ware, you might be able to run like out of a Jimmy Jovic Ware type lineup and then figure out the guard situation and it just maybe put a defender and Duncan in the mix. Like it's just like you try to find these lineups that work, but I do think Jovic and Ware, when you build around those two, like Spo is going to lean on that quite a few this season.
And then we're going to end up getting a lot of Alec Burks and Josh Richardson minutes. And people are going to be like, wait a second. I thought we were going big. I will let Greg close on this, but I just, the one thing we mentioned, you are right. Jimmy plays better with backup bigs than he plays with Bam a lot of the time on the opposite. Do we understand why that is? Do we get it? Like he looked great with Deadman at times. You're right. You mentioned with Zeller, with Love. And yet it's like there's a pass every 3 weeks from him to Bam.
Yeah. The connection stuff. I think that's valid, but all of Jimmy's greatest playoff performances were with Bam playing heavy minutes. So when we get grounded back in reality, I think they figure out a way for those two guys to be effective. But it is an interesting thing when you just talk about sheer chemistry between two players specifically. It's just interesting to see that there isn't as much of that connection.
But Jimmy plays better with worse players sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, the Heat sometimes play better with the skeleton crew rosters, you know what I mean? And that's, I think, as we close here, like a big part of what Summer League has injected life into fans because they start to see hope again. And I think that it's a reminder that it's never as bad as it seems, and it's probably never as good as it seems either. And some of the moves that you think are going to be great for some of these like semi-star-like players, they may be able to mine some diamonds out, you know, and find guys again. And it would be very Miami Heat-like for us to spend all summer as a fan base kind of moping about the lack of transactions. And then they all of a sudden have an infusion of four or five guys that become productive NBA players. That would be very Heat-like to go through that experience. And for now, and I know it's early, it looks like some of that could be trending in the right direction.
Well, it's what we talked about on the last episode. Like, in a lot of ways, their future looks better than their present. And it does feel like this is like it's not a rebuild. It's not even a reset. It's kind of a repositioning, it feels like. Like, they're making themselves less dependent on the Jimmy thing. And that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be gone after this year. But there is some of this shift, like we've talked about the two timelines and everything else. It does feel like it's sort of naturally happening on its own. Like the plates are moving that direction where you're starting to see like, okay, Bam is more of a leader, more of a focal point. Jovic and what he's going to be adding this offseason. Hakez has had an amazing offseason thus far. I mean, there's going to be a leap. And now we're talking about guys like Ware, guys like Johnson. And look, Tyler's still 24 years old. I know people don't want to hear it, but he's still 24 years old. Like, I'm not saying that there's going to be a big leap here, but he's an established quality NBA player. Sorry, folks, he is. And we can talk about market value and all this and fit and everything else, but like, you throw him in the mix with his core and you're like, okay, if we can actually figure out the pieces around it, there's talent here. Like there's guys who are going to do different things, particularly again, if Tyler's going to get back to higher volume on 3-point shooting, which he does, you know, exceptionally well, and maybe more of a catch and shoot emphasis, like you can throw him in here too. And I suppose got some things to work with. Again, we'll see how it all plays out. And we always talk about Summer League. Look, last year, Orlando Robinson looked amazing. It didn't really play out. Where's upside? I think we all agree. is considerably higher.
This isn't an Earl Barron situation, Ethan.
No, it's not an Earl Barron situation. Look, this happens. It's not just the NBA. It's also in the NFL. It's like any Dolphin fan remembers Robert Baker, the touchdown maker. Robert tore it up every single Dolphins training camp. He had one catch in the NFL. And after he had that catch, I was in his locker with Rhonda Gadsden, and Robert Baker talked about how it was the start of a Hall of Fame career. He never had another catch. He's now a rapper. Anyway, thanks to Greg. Thanks to Brady. We'll talk about rap and the Dolphins on some other episode. Check out the Valvoline link right here. Get yourself set for the summer.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.